The Emperor's New Clothes, Hans Christian Andersen. Many years ago, there lived an emperor who cared so much about beautiful new clothes that he spent all his money on dressing stylishly. He took no interest at all in his soldiers, nor did he care to attend the theater or go out for a drive, unless, of course, it gave him a chance to show off his new clothes. He had a different outfit for every hour of the day, and, just as you usually say that kings are sitting in council, it was always said of him, "The emperor is in his dressing room right now." In the big city where the emperor lived, there were many distractions. Strangers came and went all the time, and one day, two swindlers appeared. They claimed to be weavers and said that they knew how to weave the loveliest cloth you could imagine. Not only were the colors and designs they created unusually beautiful, but the clothes made from their fabrics also had the amazing ability of becoming invisible to those who were unfit for their posts or just hopelessly stupid. "Those must be lovely clothes," thought the emperor. "If I wore something like that, I could tell which men in my kingdom were unfit for their posts, and I would also be able to tell the smart ones from the stupid ones. Yes, I must have some of that fabric woven for me at once." And he paid the swindlers a large sum of money so that they could get started at once. The swindlers assembled a couple of looms and pretended to be working, but there was nothing at all on their looms. Straight away, they demanded the finest silk and the purest gold thread, which they promptly stowed away in their own bags. Then they worked far into the night on their empty looms. "Well now, I wonder how the weavers are getting on with their work," the emperor thought. But he was beginning to feel some anxiety about the fact that anyone who was stupid or unfit for his post would not be able to see what was being woven. Not that he had any fears about himself. He felt quite confident on that score. But all the same, it might be better to send someone else out first to see how things were progressing. Everyone in town had heard about the cloth's mysterious power, and they were all eager to discover the incompetence or stupidity of their neighbors. "I will send my honest old minister to the weavers," the emperor thought. "He's the best person to inspect the cloth, for he has plenty of good sense, and no one is better qualified for his post than he is." So off went the good-natured old minister to the workshop, where the two swindlers were laboring with all their might at the empty looms. "God save us," thought the minister. And his eyes nearly popped out of his head. "Why, I can't see a thing." But he was careful not to say that out loud. The two swindlers invited him to take a closer look. Didn't he find the pattern beautiful and the colors lovely? They gestured at the empty frames, but no matter how widely he opened his eyes, he couldn't see a thing, for there was nothing there. "Good Lord," he thought. "Is it possible that I'm an idiot? I never once suspected it, and I mustn't let on that it is a possibility. Can it be that I'm unfit for my post? No, it will never do for me to admit that I can't see the cloth." "Well, why aren't you saying anything about it?" asked one of the swindlers, who was pretending to be weaving. "Oh, it's enchanting, quite exquisite," the old minister said, peering over his spectacles. "That pattern and those colors, I shall tell the emperor right away how much I like it." "Ah, we are so glad that you like it," the weavers replied, and they described the colors and extraordinary patterns in detail. The old minister listened attentively so that he would be able to repeat their description to the emperor when he returned home, which he duly did. The swindlers demanded more money, more silk, and more gold thread, which they insisted they needed to keep weaving. They stuffed it all in their own pockets. Not a thread was put on the loom, while they went on weaving at the empty frames as before. After a while, the emperor sent a second respected official to see how the weaving was progressing and to find out when the cloth would be ready. What had happened to the first minister also happened to him. He looked as hard as he could, but since there was nothing there but an empty loom, he couldn't see a thing. "There, isn't this a beautiful piece of cloth?" the swindlers declared, as they described the lovely design that didn't exist at all. "I'm not stupid," thought the man. "This can only mean that I'm not fit for my position. That would be ridiculous, so I'd better not let on." And so he praised the cloth he could not see and declared that he was delighted with its beautiful hues and lovely patterns. "Yes, it's quite exquisite," he said to the emperor. The splendid fabric soon became the talk of the town. And now the emperor wanted to see the cloth for himself while it was still on the loom. Accompanied by a select group of people, including the two stately old officials who had already been there, he went to visit the crafty swindlers, who were weaving for all they were worth, without using a bit of yarn or thread. "Look, isn't it magnifique?" the two venerable officials exclaimed. "If your majesty will but take a look, what a design! What colors!" And they pointed at the empty loom, feeling sure that all the others could see the cloth. "What on earth?" thought the emperor. "I can't see a thing. This is appalling. Am I stupid? Am I unfit to be emperor? This is the most horrible thing I can imagine happening to me." "Oh, it's very beautiful," the emperor said. "It has our most gracious approval." And he gave a satisfied nod as he inspected the empty loom. He wasn't about to say that he couldn't see a thing. The courtiers who had come with him strained their eyes, but they couldn't see any more than the others. Still, they all said exactly what the emperor had said. "Oh, it's very beautiful." They advised him to wear his splendid new clothes for the first time in the grand parade that was about to take place. "It's magnifique." "Exquisite." "Superb." That's what you heard over and over again. Everyone was really pleased with the weaving. The emperor knighted each of the two swindlers and gave them medals to wear in their buttonholes, along with the title Imperial Weaver. On the eve of the parade, the rogues sat up all night with more than 16 candles burning. Everyone could see how busy they were finishing the emperor's new clothes. They pretended to remove the cloth from the loom. They cut the air with big scissors, and they sewed with needles that had no thread. Then, at last, they announced, "There, the emperor's clothes are ready at last." The emperor, with his most distinguished courtiers, went in person to the weavers, who each stretched out an arm as if holding something up and said, "Just look at these trousers. Here is the jacket. This is the cloak," and so on. "They are all as light as spider webs. You can hardly tell you are wearing anything. That's the virtue of this delicate cloth." "Yes, indeed," the courtiers declared. But they were unable to see a thing, for there was absolutely nothing there. "Now, would it please His Imperial Majesty to remove his clothes?" asked the swindlers. "Then we can fit you with the new ones, over there, in front of the long mirror." And so the emperor took off the clothes he was wearing, and the swindlers pretended to hand him each of the new garments they claimed to have made, and they held him at the waist as if they were attaching something. It was his train. And the emperor twisted and turned in front of the mirror. "Goodness, how splendid His Majesty looks in the new clothes! What a perfect fit!" they all exclaimed. "What patterns! What colors! What priceless attire!" The master of ceremonies came in with an announcement. The canopy for the parade is ready and waiting for your majesty. I am quite ready, said the emperor. The clothes suit me well, don't they? And he turned around one last time in front of the mirror, trying to look as if he were examining his fine new clothing. The chamberlains, who were supposed to carry the train, groped around on the floor as if they were picking it up. As they walked, they held out their hands, not daring to let on that they couldn't see anything. The emperor marched in the parade under the lovely canopy, and everyone in the streets and at the windows said, "Goodness! The emperor's new clothes are the finest he has ever worn. What a lovely train on his coat! What a perfect fit!" People were not willing to let on that there was nothing at all to see, because that would have meant they were either unfit for their posts or very stupid. Never had the emperor's clothes made such a great impression. "But he isn't wearing anything at all," a little child declared. "Goodness gracious! Did you hear the voice of that innocent child?" cried the father. And the child's remark was whispered from one person to the next. "Yes, he isn't wearing anything at all," the crowd shouted at last. And the emperor cringed, for he was beginning to suspect that everyone was right. But then he realized, "I must go through with it now, parade and all." And he drew himself up even more proudly than before, while his chamberlains walked behind him, carrying the train that was not there at all.